Support for this episode is brought to you by SipTequila.com. Tired of going out to the liquor stores to find the same mass-produced tequilas? Why not save some time and gas and go to SipTequila.com, as they're adding more and more premium tequilas to their site. Looking to order some Cascanes? How about the newly added Pure Sangre or Insolito? All of these and more can be shipped to your door within a few days. That's SipTequila.com. Premium brands ship direct to your door. Welcome to the show. This is the Agave Social Club podcast. I am fresh off the plane out of a trip from Guadalajara. I had an amazing weekend. It was a short trip, and I wanted to share it with you. I wanted to continue to bring you on this journey. I know a lot of my listeners have not been to Guadalajara or Jalisco, and I know they want to. And a lot of people reach out to me, which is amazing to be able to go. And I wanted to bring people along on this journey. Now, back in December, so just last month, I was out there, another quick trip, a long weekend. It was myself, my good buddy Lucas Assis, and we were with the Cascanes team. This is one of my favorite brands. The team there has really become some of my best friends, and the brand is amazing. There's a story to tell, and they're putting out incredible tequila. And so we were there to shoot content. I've been growing in photography and video work and continuing to help brands tell their story. And so we got to see a lot of amazing things while we were there. And it was somewhat of a test run for a larger trip. And as we were going to these places, the Cascanes team would say, hey, do you think this would be something that we should bring other people, you know, content creators, you know, all brands. They advertise, they market, they do it in different ways. And so a way for Cascanes is to invite content creators, quote unquote influencers. I don't love that term, but we do have influence to come and to see it. And they're gonna go back and they're gonna create stories and reels and content. And they're gonna tell people, hey man, let me tell you about this brand. Let me tell you what I experienced. So that trip last month was somewhat of, we were the guinea pigs to go to these amazing places and really see how Cascanes is made pretty much at every level. And not too far after that, the Cascanes team said, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to plan this trip. And they invited 20 or so people. And these are some of the top content creators. I mean, just to be invited and to be, you know, to be in the same room. I mean, from a bartending standpoint, from a content creation, photography, videography, these are some of the biggest accounts. And look, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about passion. It's about telling the story. But they did invite people that have large followings. And I did some quick numbers from Instagram and TikTok of everybody that was on the trip that they invited. The total reach, the total number of followers from TikTok and Instagram, not even YouTube, some of these people have big YouTube channels, was over 4.5 million followers. So there's definitely some reach here. So I got the invite a few weeks ago, and it was a come in on a Thursday night and then leave Monday morning. Now, I was just there. And at first I thought, I'm probably not going to be able to make this trip. I've got a day job. There's only so many times that I can get down to Mexico. And I am starting to go there more and to do more video projects with different brands. And since I was just there, and honestly, we were doing a lot of the same things that I was just a part of, I thought, man, I just don't know if I can make this happen. And the more I thought about it and to continue to be back with that team, and then also, not going to lie, a little FOMO to not be with, because a lot of these content creators I talk to somewhat regularly on social media, but I've never met them in person. And so for all of us to be together and from the bartender side, those guys, I mean, a massive group. And at the last night of dinner, we were all sitting together at a table. And I asked one of them about, you know, how often they're together. And he said, I don't think all of us have ever been together at the same time. So that in itself, to be able to be a part of it. So I did go. Now, I was not able to go Thursday night, and I knew I was going to miss Friday, which I do kind of regret, but I got there Friday night. So the group gets there Thursday night. Friday was the distillery tour. Now, this is TTAP, NOM 1614. This is a newer distillery for Cascanes. A little over a year ago, they made this change from NOM 1599. I've talked about this a lot. They've come on the show to talk about this. They put a lot of work and time into making sure this transition was creating the same quality of tequila, if not better. So Friday was pretty much all day at the distillery. And I know for some of these people, they've never even been to Jalisco or to a distillery for tequila. And so that was, you know, special for them. Again, I was not there on Friday, although I've been to that distillery twice in the past and was just there last month. And their presence at TTAP has definitely been felt. Now, this is Tres Agaves. That's another quality brand that is producing there. And they've got some other brands that are there as well. But with Cascanes coming in over the past year, and Cascanes has continued to grow. I mean, that was one of the reasons for the change, was just a production volume that they were growing so fast and needed to be able to produce more and to bottle faster and things like that. And so they moved to TTAP, which is a beautiful distillery. And with their addition there, TTAP had plans to expand in the future. But once Cascanes got in there and their production started ramping up, the distiller said, hey, we've got to do this addition sooner than we thought. And so when I was there last month, you start to see, man, they are building a larger side for more production. They've got brick ovens, they've got low pressure autoclaves, they have a Tohono pit. And when I was there last month, they had recently installed brand new copper pot stills. And these were beautiful. I'll release some photos. I don't think I've done any videos or photos with them, but I will be posting some. These were coming in from Brazil, which was pretty cool, especially since I was there last month with Lucas, who's from Brazil. So he was very proud of that, but just beautiful. And so it's great to see this distillery continue to grow. And in that area, for them to have to, you know, hire more people, to have to continue to invest in that community, which is really great to see. So I know the people there, they had an amazing time. Just hearing their stories, seeing their content, was really great for them to be at the distillery. Like I said, I wish I could have been there with them. And they also brought in Joel, their barrel cooper. And last month, I got to go to Joel's shop, where he is sourcing, picking all of the barrels for Cascanes. He's working with them. They're saying, hey, we want to try this barrel. We want to look for this. And he's sourcing them and he's bringing them in and then he's charring them. And while we had a large group, like I said, they did not all get to go to his shop because it's smaller than that size of group, but they brought him to the distillery and he actually did a demonstration of charring barrels and what goes into it. And let me tell you, I've done some videos, you may have seen it, and I've got more videos coming out. I got to interview him last month that I haven't released yet. And this guy is so hard work and what it takes to char barrels. See, a lot of times I get to go to distilleries and see how they're making tequila, but there's other steps of the process that I don't always get to see. And many of us don't get to see. So to see how they're making their barrels, or to see, you know, other brands that are hand blowing their glass bottles, which to continue to see behind the curtain and to share these stories where I can continue to bring you guys along for the ride on this incredible journey. So Joel was there. And one of the steps he's got to do is he's got to sand down the barrel to prep it before he can char it. And I mean, it is a messy job. I mean, he is getting in there. I've got some videos out that you may have seen where he's in there and wood chips and just dirt. Things are just coming out of these barrels as he's prepping them and getting them ready to char and then eventually be filled with tequila. And then after he's sanding them, he puts them on the stand and he lights it up with fire and he's charring the barrels. Now there's different levels of char. There's, you know, level one that's not heavily charred, up to, I think it maxes out at a level four char, but there's different levels of charring for these barrels. And as they're being charred from each area, he's got to rotate that barrel. And when I'm watching him do this, he's just throwing water on the metal rings of these barrels. And then he's using his bare hands to rotate these barrels. Fire is all consumed inside. I mean, the bung hole, which is the hole in the barrel, that's what it's called, that had flames coming out of it. And he's just throwing water. I mean, this seems dangerous. This is hard work. He does all these barrels for Cascanes. And when I was there last, they said that he had just recently done like 100 barrels in 10 days. And it's time consuming. It does take a long time. And it's a lot of hard work. So they got to experience that. And they went into their beautiful tasting room. They've got this beautiful tasting room. And right behind that tasting room is a glass wall that goes to the barrel room with probably a few thousand barrels. You walk into that barrel room and just the smell is just so amazing. And so I know they really enjoyed going through the different expressions of Cascanes. Cascanes is continuing to put out incredible tequila. I know we're all waiting on the Hoven. We still have a little more time to wait on that Hoven, but I can't wait for that to come out. Another thing special for me as I am doing more single barrels. I've said this and I know a lot of people are waiting. I do have my first single barrel with Valance, which I cannot wait to release. It is bottled. We're just working on some of the back end things for this. But once we are ready, we are going to release it. And I also have my second barrel that I've picked with Cascanes. This is coming in at 50% ABV, so higher proof, which I'm excited for. So it's awesome to know that my barrel is down there in that barrel room that they were able to go and tour. So I know they had a great day. I was coming in Friday night. I met them at the hotel. And again, to be around people that I've built these relationships with and to meet new people and know that this weekend we're all going to be a part of something really special and get to bond over that. So it was great walking into the hotel and seeing everybody in the lobby because they just got back from the distillery when I was getting to the hotel. And then we loaded up into two big Sprinter vans to go to Tlaquepaque. I've been there. I love Tlaquepaque. You've heard me talk about it. Casa Luna is where we had dinner. This is a restaurant I recommend. A lot of people tell me how much they love this restaurant right there in Tlaquepaque. And we had this great dinner. Like I said, there was probably 20, 25 of us at Casa Luna in Tlaquepaque. Now, something that's a little different at Casa Luna that I was not aware of, and I heard they started doing this about a month ago or so, you can order a cocktail or a specialty cocktail. I don't know if it's like if it's for someone's birthday, because a lot of people were doing it, but they will have their bartenders come out wearing some type of a mask. It could be a dolphin. We saw like a dog, just different animal, a monkey. They dance and while they're making the drinks, and it's very interactive. The same song comes on, and we had fun with that. The Cascanes team first ordered a drink for our buddy Rob Gerard, Tequila Collective, where all of a sudden he turns around and there's a guy wearing a mask starting to dance and make a cocktail. So we all had a good laugh at that. And then all night, I mean, this was happening like all night, and it was a little interesting. So we had a great dinner there. And, you know, it was a long day for everyone. I mean, I traveled in and I know everyone had a long day, but when you're there with a group, we've got, you know, almost two different groups there. We've got people that are heavily into the tequila world. They are creating content. They are quote unquote influencers for the tequila space. And then we've got this other group that are amazing giant bartenders that are also creating incredible content. From the bartender side, you had Josh from Drifter's Joint. Go look up Drifter's Joint and watch his cocktail videos. And I mean, it's art. I mean, it's a cinematic piece of art what he's doing there. You had Caitlin from Likeable Cocktails. In 2017, she won Best Bartender in the World. I mean, this is massive talent. And, you know, Caitlin, she was so awesome, so humble, down to earth. Afterwards, Lucas said, hey, I like look up to her. I mean, the impact she's had on the bartending world. And so you know, you're with these amazing people that love going out and finding great bars. We had Hawk, Cocktails by Hawk. You know Hawk, he has that giant mohawk in his videos. Chris, not just a bartender. Louis Fern is always doing incredible content. Jordan, the high proof preacher, also does cocktail camera. The way that he's capturing the stories of the people behind the bar and the cocktails. I mean, he's got online classes that you can take to be better at doing this, at taking photography, at video, and I'm just an incredible level of talent with the people here. We had Miguel from Holy City Handcraft. I mean, look him up. If you want to look at amazing videos of cocktails and just to learn, these are the people that you need to be following. We had Ashley, Miss Agave. We had Lucas Assis. I think we all know who that guy is. Lauren from Love and Agave. She's got a great bar down in Florida where I am. And so, you know, when you're with these people, they're not going to just be like, hey, let's just go to bed. They're going to want to go out and continue to find great spots. And so we walk to a really great bar just right down the road, and you go down the steps, and it's kind of hidden. And then there's brick ceiling, brick walls. I mean, this was just an underground, really awesome bar. And they cleared an area for us to just go hang out. We ran into Chava from Casqueen and his brother Benji. So I've had the honor to spend time with Chava really the past four or five trips there. And so to have them come out was great. And then randomly we ran into Alex from Siempre was there. And so, you know, again, this community, these people that all come together, a lot of them are living there. A lot of them are visiting for extended lengths of time. And so to just randomly run into people that we've built relationships with, but again, maybe not have ever met in person. You know, Alex has been on the podcast. They have moved to Vivanco 1414 and they're putting out some incredible tequila, but I haven't been with him in person. And so to spend time with him and Chava and Benji, it was a really fun night. I called it at like 1:30, went to bed. I think some of the other ones, they continued to explore and go out, but just a great start for me. I know it was a great first day for the group. And that was the end of day one for me, you know, a great start as I was coming in late. And I know first full day for the group, I know that they were tired and just had a great day. Now, Saturday morning, we were on the road by 8 o'clock, so not a lot of sleep, and we were heading out to Ostotipaquillo. Now, Ostotipaquillo, this is a small town, and this is where Jose, one of the owners of Cascanes, this is where he grew up, and this is where his family is still living. You know, there are a lot of brands out there that, you know, they go to a distillery, and they work a deal with a distillery, and they get tequila from them. They may have some input in profile and things like that. And there's some great tequilas out there like that. Cascanes never wanted to be that. And we're going to get into the story of where Cascanes started. I've already put out some videos on that. But one of the big things is they're bringing in water. Water plays such a crucial role in the production of tequila, and they're bringing in their water from this small town. And as they were looking for a great water source, Jose knew growing up, hey, there's this well. If you go into the woods, there's this natural spring that has really great water. So at first we go to Jose's parents' house. I mean, how special is that to go to Jose, an owner of this brand, that he would open up his parents' house as 25 or so people show up in this small town, come into his parents' house. And personally, Jose is a brother to me. He's become one of my best friends. I talk about him all the time. And so special to me to go and see where he grew up, to go meet his mom and dad. And you go into their, you know, kind of driveway. It's somewhat like a carport. And on the wall, they've got a family tree. And it has all the family members. And it's got pictures of them with their families. And just how cool is it to see? I mean, this is what I love about Mexico, about the tequila industry, that this is about culture. This is about tradition. This is about heritage. I have a lot of friends here in the U.S. I've never been to anyone's house and they had like a family tree painted on their wall. And so go there and see how important it is for Jose and his family to know where they came from and to continue to grow that family tree. That was pretty cool. And to meet his parents, his dad's cowboy hat, looks like a, you know, cowboy. And then he's got a Cascanes t-shirt on over his button down plaid shirt. And, you know, he's just so proud of the work that his son's a part of and doing. And they're also impacting the people there in that community. And they actually don't talk about that a lot. I'm going to talk about that so they don't have to, but I know that they're impacting the community there. So that was really cool. We went to the town square. We went to the church. They had a mariachi band come out and play for us. We just happened to be there where, you know, these towns have these celebrations, and they're usually multiple day celebrations. Back in September, I was in Mexico for a week and we stayed in Arandas, and we just happened to be there where there's some giant festival that was like a week long. And it was just crazy at night, all these horses. Well, this was something similar, just on a little bit of a smaller scale. And so they said, hey, before we get out to see where the water's coming from, there's a parade that we're going to see. And man, they brought through the town square. The church is right there. They've got this pavilion in the middle. It's got, you know, decorated, beautiful colors. When you think of a small Mexican town, this is what you think of. Cobblestone roads. And all of a sudden, all of these men and women are coming down on horses, beautiful horses. They've got, I mean, it's during the day, they got fireworks that are going off. They've got music playing. And this is a celebration. And everyone comes out to it. Jose was telling us that a lot of their families, they come out, they travel to this for this multiple day celebration. So we got to see that and be a part of it before we went and saw where they're sourcing their water from. So as I was saying, water, very important. We are driving back roads in the woods. We're going through, you know, bumpy terrain. And we finally get to, there's like a small house that a family lives there and takes care of the land. There's a giant brick, almost like a pyramid style, where the water is coming into. And they said that the actual spring is about an hour to 2 hour hike further away from there. They've got to get 4x4s to get down there. It wasn't really something that they wanted to bring all of us on a hike to get all the way down there. One of the guys on this trip, Jack Franzino, is an amazing videographer and photographer. I can't wait to see what he releases. He was there with Wayne from Drink with Wayne, and he was flying his drone down there, and he actually captured the spring. So we will be able to release some footage of seeing that natural spring. But they've got these pipes that run all the way up to this area where they are bringing up this water. In Cascanes, they have an actual Cascanes water truck. This truck has a stainless steel tank, which is actually harder to find than you would think. They wanted to make sure this is a stainless steel tank. It's not going to rust out just like tequila sits in stainless steel at the distilleries. This tank is stainless steel, where they are transporting this water from this area in Ostotipaquillo to TTAP. And it's probably an hour to an hour and a half, depending on traffic, to go there and to bring the water. That in itself, that there's extra cost there, extra time. There are other brands at the distillery that, you know, are getting water from other places, but that's what continues to add to the story of Cascanes, where they're bringing their water from. And so they fired it all up. They were filling up the water tank for us. We got to drink that water, and it was super clean, crisp, really great water. So to, again, see these elements, to not just go, hey, I've been to the distillery and I've seen where this tequila is made, but to go, well, I've been to the water source. This water is used for fermentation. It's used in the roller mills for extraction. And to go there and to see it, again, continues to just share the picture of what goes into making great quality tequila. And then we went to this beautiful hacienda where we had lunch. And man, let me tell you, the grounds were beautiful. This was these tunnels down below that we got to go down and take some great photos with some Cascanes bottles. And again, just build community, to be as a group, to be together, to share in this experience. We had a great lunch there. And again, as this celebration was happening, there was a rodeo that afternoon. So we went right down the road to a rodeo where those horses that we saw that morning were a part of this rodeo. And you've got these guys on these horses. Some of them were even kids. It was incredible to see them on these horses. And these horses would gallop, I guess that's a term, as fast as they can. And they would have a cow or a bull or something. And they would try to pull their tails or sweep their legs and knock them over. And if they were able to do that, the men that were riding these horses would get a ribbon or a sash. And so they would come in super fast. They would continue to go up and someone would put one of these ribbons on them. There was one rider there that just apparently was the main guy, because he had so many of these ribbons. This is not something that I've like ever been to before in my life. I mean, this is the whole town comes out. It's not a massive arena or anything. We're all sitting together. We've got a bottle of Cascanes that we're passing around and enjoying. And we get to watch this again, to see and to peek into another culture. I've got a little boy and I'm trying to teach him in life that the world is big. And to go outside of America and to see and to explore the world. And, you know, like I said, this is not something that like I go to on a Friday night here in Florida, or didn't grow up in Baltimore seeing things like this. And to experience it was pretty cool. I mean, I didn't love that like the cows are getting like knocked over, but they got back up and they seemed to be okay. So we were there for a little bit. I think they had some other things going on there. We didn't stay for the entire thing. They said it just kind of goes on all day until at night they actually have this giant party, this celebration that we went to. So from there, we went back to this hacienda. And this is where we just hung out for the rest of the day. And the Cascanes team, man, they just wanted to have some fun things planned for us. They brought in a mechanical bull. And so a lot of us got to ride a mechanical bull. And when I say us, I mean not me, but some other people. They all signed their waivers and they got on the mechanical bull, which was a lot of fun to watch. They had a DJ there. And then they brought in, before dinner, they set up an actual wrestling ring. They had, you know, this was a giant hacienda. They brought in a wrestling ring that did not have a lot of give, and it really was not padded well. And all of a sudden, we've got all these luchadors coming in. They're wearing their masks. Some of them weren't wearing masks. They had men and women, and they come strolling in like it's a, you know, pro football team that just got off the bus walking into the stadium. And it was pretty fun to see these wrestling matches. And these men and women, I mean, they were putting their bodies on the line as they're flying off the top turnbuckle. They're landing hard on the mat. They were coming into the crowd. Caitlin, not only one of the best bartenders in the world, but she was just like, let's go. And she's dropping elbows on them. I mean, it was just great to see. But we got to have our own private lucha libre style of wrestling there in this town right after we went to a rodeo. And it was pretty incredible. And then we stayed there and we had dinner there, and the wrestlers all had dinner with us. So we got to spend some time with them. And then we left there and we went to the celebration. And this was in the town square. And to go back and see it at night, everybody was there. Everybody throughout the day that's been celebrating, they're there at this event. There's probably like 15 different bands playing, not too far away from each other, all playing at the same time, which was a lot of music, but really cool. And they had, you know, carnival games. They had food vendors. We found some stands with Cascanes, maybe even bought a bottle off of them for us to walk around with. But again, these are these moments that you don't know when you'll get to experience this again. And so we walked around there for a few hours before heading back. I mean, it was a long day. Everybody was tired, but we had such an incredible day mixing in the tequila side and seeing where this water's coming from. But then more than that, seeing the culture and being with the people and experiencing their life. That's what I love about this, to get a glimpse into a world that is not my normal day to day. So then we went back to the hotel, all gearing up for our last day, which was Sunday. So now it's Sunday. This is our last full day. Again, like I said, this is not a long trip, but they put so much into it that it felt like we were there a week. And Sunday we go out to La Estancita. And I've recently put out some videos of this. This is not where Cascanes is made. Cascanes is made at a distillery. This really is the origin or the genesis of Cascanes. You've got Colin, one of the main founders. He's got an incredible palate. He's a winemaker. He grows his own grapes for wine. I mean, he is involved every step of the way. This was 9 or 10 years ago. He's wanting to make tequila, and he's touring distilleries and he's talking with them. Most of the distilleries that he was going to, it was basically a contract style setup where, hey, yeah, we can make you this tequila. You know, you can speak into that profile a little bit. And like I said, there's a lot of great brands that do that. But for Colin, he said, man, that's not what I'm looking to do. I want to be involved. I want to help with the recipe. I want to use my palate to impact the recipe. And as he was traveling around, somebody said to him, hey, you need to go right past Magdalena, the town there. It says near the town of Tequila, there's an area, Magdalena. And then there's this small area, La Estancita. And they said, there's a guy that lives in the woods. The terrain in some areas is almost tropical and looks like a jungle. And they said, there's a guy that lives there that produces tequila, but it's really an agave distillate because it's not, you know, through the CRT. And so Colin goes out there and it's this small, I've released some videos on it. It is like a moonshine setup. It's a small taberna. I mean, there's people living there. There's a church there kind of in the center of it. And he's making this agave distillate or tequila, as it is tequila. And Colin spends off and on about a year with Umberto, and they're tweaking and they're putting together the pieces for this recipe, which now has become Cascanes Tequila. So again, going back to the story, there's a story here that goes back. A lot of times people think Cascanes is a new brand. Cascanes is started almost 10 years ago. I mean, this is a long time coming. The growth that they've had is a long time coming. So when we were there last month and we go out there, I got to interview Umberto. We were out there and the Cascanes team was going, hey, do you think, would this be cool? Like, would it be cool to bring people to this? And Lucas and I right away said, absolutely. You've got to bring people to this. I mean, for people to see this and go, this is, you know, the starting foundation of what Cascanes has become. And so we got to go back out there Sunday morning. And last month when I was there, you know, I'm writing out questions. I'm scripting out stuff for these interviews. And I'm talking with Jose and about going out there to the woods with Umberto. And Jose said to me before we got out there last month, he said, look, let's just play it by ear. Umberto, he's a little eccentric. He like may not even be wearing a shirt. He's probably not gonna be wearing shoes. Like, I don't know how much interview we're gonna get out of Umberto. And I thought, okay, we're just gonna play it by ear. We showed up last month and he had his cowboy hat on, a big old belt buckle, a nice button shirt. This guy was ready to become a star. And we had such a great time to go back there and to see his team, the people working there that I was just there with them a month ago. And I got to show them some of the videos that I've done. And they were all going, can I get a copy? Like, they were so proud. And so for Cascanes, you know, since then, they have Don Chico, who is a phenomenal master distiller and tequila producer. And for them to continue to go back and to honor Umberto and to continue to have him be a part of this story, I know it meant a lot to Umberto last month, just as I know it meant a lot to him Sunday to be out there with 20 some people that were just all cameras. I mean, the amount of cameras we had, I mean, I'm so excited to see the amount of footage that's going to come out of this trip, because there are so many cameras out there collecting and you know, photography and pictures and storytelling. So it is going to be pretty awesome to see what comes out of it. But we were there and Umberto, same thing. He walked us through everything. This is the guy who's got this shredder on this makeshift. It's a Chevy truck engine that they got a crank on, that's what's powering the shredder. They're hand washing the agave fibers in this giant trough with the water there. They go into these giant fermentation plastic tanks, and then they go to distillation. And so to be there and to continue to taste what Umberto's making there, this agave distillate, everybody loved it. I mean, we got in the van afterwards and they were all going, that's highlight. This is the highlight. And to see where it began was, I know, a highlight for a lot of people on the trip. From there, we were going to the agave fields and we're driving out there. We stopped at a gas station. One of the gas stations that we stopped at, you know, they sell tequila. And a lot of the tequila they sell is just in unmarked plastic jugs. So you don't fully know if it's 100% agave. You don't know if it's a mixto. You don't know if it's more rum than tequila. But it's all part of the experience. And my buddy Lucas Assis, he sees these jugs and he starts talking to the lady, older lady behind the counter about, you know, what is this? And she's going, oh, let me have you try. So when we're all trying to like buy a bottle of water or Gatorade, Lucas was pretty much doing a full-on tequila tasting at the register with this elderly lady behind the counter. So, you know, fun experience. From there, we were heading to the agave fields. This is TTAP. TTAP, you know, they own the distillery. This is the TTAP distillery. They own a ton of agave fields, like thousands of acres of agave fields. And they generously allowed us to go out there. We had lunch out there, beautiful long table to have lunch in the agave fields. Super special. I mean, actually, like the people that this was their first time, I'm like, I don't know how you're going to top this to have these experiences. They had a humidor, same humidor that was with me last month, came out. He's doing a display of how to harvest these agaves. He said, for anybody that wants to harvest their own agave, you know, they could do that. I've done that in the past, so I wanted to make sure anybody that had not done that had a chance to do that. So again, just being out in the fields, taking photos, going out there and seeing the hard work that these humidors do, these men and women that are harvesting these agaves, it is hard work. And then to have an amazing lunch there in the agave fields is pretty spectacular. After a great lunch, some great cocktails, we did get into the two vans. You know, we've got two vans there and we started heading back to the hotel. We were going to actually have an hour or two of some downtime before our dinner, which was the last event Sunday night. As we were driving to the hotel, the other van broke down. And as soon as we heard that happened, we had to go back and we had to pick up half of our group. So we now have one van with 20 some people in it that we clearly did not all fit. But again, these moments, these are experiences. We're all in this van together. We're driving back to the hotel, and on the way back, we're going to go through Amatitan and El Arenal, and this is where Casqueen is. Now, this was a Sunday, so Casqueen's closed. Most distilleries aren't producing anything or open on Sundays, but the Cascanes team, they're very close with Chava, and they reached out to him and just said, hey, is there any chance that we could just stop by and let the people see your distillery? So Chava said, sure, why not? So they've got a guard there. We show up, and they open up the doors for us, and we get to go explore Casqueen. And we just, I mean, no one was there. We had the place to ourselves to give ourselves our own tour. And I had not been there in a few years. So always great to go back there. I do need to spend more time there this year because Chava is just amazing. The brand, Benji, they're just putting out incredible tequila. And so we got to tour that. They had fermentation going. So you go in there, the cement tanks had fermentation. And if you're real quiet, you could hear the crackling of the fermentation, which was pretty cool. So we didn't spend too much time there. Again, not much was going on, but we walked through it and then we all piled back into the van, all of us in the van, and we headed back to the hotel where we had a little bit of time to relax before dinner. We had dinner just right down the street there. This was an awesome restaurant. It was like a private room that we got to take over the entire thing. We had Chava and Benji and the owner of T-Tap. They came out and they joined us for dinner. And it was a great way to end this trip, to spend time with these people, to talk about the past couple days, to look at photos. Everyone's kind of rushing to get content out and to share it. So it was a great end to this trip. Dinner ended around 10:30, you know, long days turn into long nights, late dinners. And, you know, like I said before, when you're with some of the most incredible bartenders, they're looking to see where else are we going. Now, Jose did give us the itinerary for shuttle pickups for the airport, and the first group was leaving at 3 a.m. My group was leaving at 3:45 a.m. for the airport, so I already was doing some math knowing that, like, whatever you do, you're not going to get much sleep. I decided to opt for some sleep. They were looking to go either to La Farmacia or El Gallo or Peter Brown Bar, which I've been to all three of those. Those are all incredible places to go. And again, with the large amount of people, they opted for Peter Brown, which I assume they all had a great time. 3:45 is early. I meet down in the lobby. There are a total of six of us going back to the airport together. And I see Lucas, I see Ashley, Miss Agave, and I see Lauren, Love, and Tequila, and they looked at me and said, we just got back 20 minutes ago. They went up to their room, grabbed their stuff, and came back down. So they did not sleep at all. They were up all night. They were looking to maximize their time on this trip, and they stayed up all night, but hopefully they were able to get some sleep on the airplane back to where they each were going. So that was the trip. Like I said, it was just a few days. It was very brand focused for Cascanes. A little sprinkle of Casqueen is always enjoyable. But this was really for Cascanes to share their story. And they're growing. I talk about them a lot. I really love the people behind the brand. I think the product is incredible. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to Cascanes. They put so much into this. John Paul, Edwin, Jose, they worked so hard to pull this off within like a month, if not less. It was a lot of work. So thank you guys for putting this together. Thank you for inviting me, for allowing me to meet these other people. As I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, at Agave Social Club. I'm trying to tag everybody I can that's been on this trip. I want to encourage you to go find these accounts and follow them, because the content that they're putting out is just such next level stuff. And I'm learning from them. And they were all so gracious. As I'm trying to get better with my photography and videography, one, they were so generous with like compliments of like, hey, your stuff, like, we love your stuff. And I'm like, I'm just trying to figure this thing out. But I was also asking them a ton of questions about lenses and this and that. And they were all so helpful to go, call me anytime. Would love to answer any questions you have. So great to be around these people, to continue to build these relationships. I've said it before, if you have not had a chance to go to tequila territory, to go to the region of tequila, to go to Jalisco and see this area, And whether that's in Los Altos or the town of Tequila, I want to highly encourage you to go. And I know because of this platform I have, whatever that may be, I get to experience some things that not everybody gets to experience. So whether you're able to go see where barrels are charred or where the water's coming from, I still want to encourage you to make that trip, to find out what distilleries you want to go to, and just do it. Continue to keep an eye on Cascanes. They have some incredible stuff coming out. They've done those single barrels, Rosa Blanco and Reposado. Those have sold out, but they do have more coming in the future. We will eventually see that Hoven that we're all waiting for, and just such a great brand. And they're growing distribution around the country. So I want to highly encourage you to pick up a bottle of Cascanes. Like I said, a big thanks to their team for putting this together. Big thanks to Sip Tequila for sponsoring the show. We will be back in 2 weeks with another brand episode. But I wanted to just share the story. I wanted to bring you along on this journey and to continue to shine a light on the amazing men and women in the tequila industry. I'm Doug Price, and thanks for listening.